So Kathleen was my postdoc mentor at Crum. Yeah. So we spent a lot of time together talking about working on the problem related to collisionless shock profile. Certainly, she's always been my inspiration and role model in doing math. I have learned so much from her. I've been always hoping, you know, someday I could be invited to speak on her behalf. And I'd like to thank the organizers for this wonderful celebration. And certainly, it's my great pleasure, yeah, to be here. Yeah. So today, I'd like to talk about a problem in Boltzmann theory. So I would like to apologize for those who have already heard about this talk. But since Kathleen has been always interested in the particle motions in the context of kinetic theory, so I felt this is appropriate, okay, to present this work here. So this is the title, Boltzmann equation in bounded domain. So the Boltzmann equation is one of the fundamental equations in so-called kinetic theory. So here, let's consider a dilute gas, which is described by a distribution function in both in the velocity variable v. Okay, so this is given by f. So the equation is given up there. So on the left-hand side, we just have a very simple free transfer equation. Notice now V is an independent variable. Now the right-hand side is complicated.
V is velocity,
but here we consider velocity is an independent variable. That's a key point of the kinetic theory. Now you consider the particle distribution, which depends on V, which is given by F. Q is a bit complicated. It's an integral operator, a five-dimensional integral operator, has a complicated form, which was postulated by Boltzmann. Okay. So Q is bilinear, and then it's an integral operator.
The
binary collisions, yeah.
Yes.
It's somehow the form. Sometimes the form is intimidating. Yeah, a little bit intimidating. Actually, the physical meaning here. Actually, U prime and V prime can be considered as the velocities after the collision. Okay. Yeah. So. No, there's only one species. So now we consider a particle, so we say it's a neutral, just a dilute gas.
Two different streams.
The particles are, yeah. So you consider two particles bumping into each other, say with the velocity u and v, and then you're going out with a u prime and v prime, which is given by here. So the integration actually the q actually is still a function of v, okay, after it's integrating over all the dummy velocities u. Okay. Yeah. So I don't want to get into the form of the collision operator because we're not using that a lot. Okay.
What is the point?
Yeah.
F1 and F2. What's the difference between F1 and F2?
This is in general defined QF1 and F2 like this. And now, when you have to evaluate you have to equate F1 and F2 inside the collision kernel. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. This in general is defined for two distribution function can define like this. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. But when you try to really evaluate the Boltzmann equation, you should let F1 equals to F2 equals to F. So one important feature of the Boltzmann equation, even though it can be derived formally from Newtonian dynamics, which is time reversible, but the Boltzmann equation actually is time irreversible. And formally speaking, there is a Maxwellian distribution which solution is thought to converge to at time equals to infinity. So I would like to study the equations near this equilibrium. So I will call this Maxwellian mu, and then I'll do a little perturbation, which is F is given by mu plus weighted perturbation little f. Okay. So if you plug this back into the original Boltzmann equation, you will get this standard form for the perturbation. So that is the if you plug it in, then you have a standard linearized Boltzmann collision operator, which is defined by L. So the feature of the L is a multiplication operation. The first term is mu times f. You can think about mu is just 1. And then kf is an integral operator for f in terms of v. Okay, in terms of v. And the gamma is just the nonlinearity inherited from the original Boltzmann equation. So one important property of this L, the operator L, is always non-negative. Always non-negative. This is due to Boltzmann's H theorem. That is the reason give you dissipation. However, L is not strictly positive. You have a kernel, which is a five-dimensional. If you fix P and X, then you get a five-dimensional kernel, which is generated by 1, and then V1, V2, V3, and then V squared. And it is standard to define the projection onto this kernel when you fix T and X. So this I will call it, usually people call it a hydrodynamic part, which is denoted by that. It just generates on this kernel. Okay, so the kernel is determined by A, B, and C, where B is a vector. B is a vector. So suppose I want to do, I want to show global solutions of this problem. The most natural thing to try is try to do energy estimate. So in other words, I will multiply F on both sides of the Boltzmann equation and then do integration. So if you do that, then the transport term will be gone. Suppose there's no boundary. And then we're left with this equation. Okay. And notice that we're looking for small solutions for F, small perturbations. Then the right-hand side is a cubic term. So it's good, it's small. So if we have positivity for the collision operator L, suppose we have that lower bound, then global solution is easy, like Grunwald. But we only know that L is only positive definite in the complement of the null space. So in order to get a full lower bound, it suffices to say that PF, which is the projection on the null space, can be bounded from I minus P, which is the orthogonal part. Okay. The way to do that is you can, well, in general, this is not true, but on the operator level. Okay. But what you can do is, because now when we do this energy estimate, F is not only arbitrary function, because F should be a solution to the Boltzmann equation. So what you can do is then you can plug back in the F into the equation, and you separate PF in terms of the quantity I minus PF. So you plug them in. Okay. So now you can relate PF in terms of I minus PF. And PF has a simple structure of ABC, right? Determined by ABC. Now if you write down the equation for ABC, you get a sequence, a system of equations. An interesting observation is, even though PF should satisfy a hyperbolic equation, okay, but if you analyze this set of equations, because you have this special structure of the five-dimensional null space, it turns out, okay, the right-hand side are all good in terms of the I minus P, and then you can deduce that actually for B, you have equation like the following form, which is elliptic. Turns out it's elliptic. So in other words, you indeed can estimate B in terms of I minus P, and then you can bootstrap to all the PX. Okay. So assume you have good boundary conditions, and then assume you're willing to use high-order solvent norms, then indeed you can find a lower bound for L, because there's a relationship between PF and I minus PF through the nonlinear equation. The P?
B.
Oh, B is the one of the coefficients of the in the null representation. So this is a B. This is a B. The macroscopic velocity, if you wish. Yeah. So now I would like to talk a little bit about the boundary value problem. So certainly one basic problem in Boltzmann study is the boundary value problem, but usually the gas is confined in the domain. Yeah. So as a matter of fact, it was Harold Grant here who stated in a paper that uniqueness, time decay, and well-posedness of Boltzmann equations in the presence of boundary conditions is one very important problem. Okay. So let's consider that the boundary is defined through a defining function. And we can define its outward normal vector, which is defined as n. And we will say omega is a real analytic if this defining function is a real analytic. And we'll define omega is strictly convex if that is true. If that is true. Okay. So we also will define what is a rotational symmetry for this domain. So there's certain parts of the boundary condition in the boundaries in the phase space. So here go gamma sub plus means the in the phase space the particles are outgoing, and then gamma of minus in the phase space is incoming. The interesting set is gamma zero. Okay, so for every point, okay, the particle velocity is going tangentially. So this is denoted by gamma zero. Gamma zero. This is a so-called grazing set. Okay. So for any given T and X and V, we will forget about the Boltzmann equation. We will just consider the linear transport equation, which is given by F sub T plus V equal to zero. So the trajectory, okay, so the characteristics of this simple PDE will define just like that. Okay. So there's an important concept of so-called backward exit time that is the time where if I have Tx and V, if I go backward in time along the velocity V, and the first moment I go backward in time, hit on the boundary, I will call that point TbxV. Okay, TbxV. So now I want to talk a little bit about the boundary conditions. Okay, so there are several basic boundary conditions you can impose for the Boltzmann equation. The first one is so-called inflow boundary condition. So this is easy to understand, where you are prescribing the incoming particle at the boundary. So if I'm here, if I try to trace back along the characteristics, okay, I should give the value here. Okay, value here. This is the incoming. Okay. So there is also so-called bounce back boundary condition. Okay, at the boundary, the particles with velocity v is the same as the minor speed. So if we follow the particle path, this is a simple particle path, the meaning of that is, suppose I want to evaluate the point here, okay, if I go back, suppose coming from this angle, okay, so now in order to determine that, I have to turn back, I have to go back along the reverse direction, and then you hit back here. And then you have to reverse again. Okay? So you keep going this motion repeatedly. Okay? So this is the so-called the bounce back condition. And also we could have the familiar specular reflection boundary condition. So so that is given by that in terms of the distribution. If you follow the particle path, that means suppose I want to evaluate the value here along the trajectory, I should come to here. Okay, this is when I hit the boundary, then I should do a specular reflection. So going from here. So this should be the same, and then I should go out like that. And then go on like this. Keep going. Okay. So this is like a 3D billiard. Okay. Billiard. Just go like that. Specularly.
Leading coming angle is
the billiard. Yes. 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 Yeah. So the angle exactly is specularly. Yeah. And then the fourth one is the so-called diffusive or stochastic boundary conditions. Okay. So this is given like this. In other words, the incoming flow is an average of the outgoing flow. You take some average. Okay. So if I want to draw the picture here, it's a little bit complicated. So in order to determine the value here, follow the trajectory, I should certainly first hit on the boundary. Hit on the boundary. So in order to evaluate this value, okay, I have to take an average of all the outgoing distributions, an average of every one of them, okay. And then if I want to go further for each one of them, again, I have to do the same process. I have to do a average of yet another same process. Okay, same process. For each one of them, I have to do a average. Okay, average in the same fashion and keep on going back. So this is if you are going to follow the trajectory path. Okay, so this is our four basic, the most basic boundary conditions. Yeah. As you can see, things can get complicated now. Oops. Okay. So, oops. different about that. So what about the previous work? Certainly boundary value problem is very important. But if you consider general domain, there's not a lot of work, okay, in this setting. In particular, if you want to address the decay rate and also the uniqueness of the equation. So in 1977, Asano and Shizuta announced that they can prove the existence of a solution and the decay in a convex, smooth boundary problem with a specular boundary condition. Unfortunately, even today, there's no complete proof. So it's considered in the field, it's the open. Specular, really, you're doing that. It's a billiard problem, yes. And then in recently, Devillette and Villani, they established the almost exponential decay. That means you have a decay at any polynomial rate with large data, okay, provided if you have some a priori assumptions about the strong solutions and uniform solid estimates. So if you have a very, very nice estimate, which is now known in general, then you can get decay. Okay. I'm sorry?
What type of estimate did they ever assume? They assume
it's basically high order sublift estimate. H5, actually any order. Yeah. Both.
Derivative in space, weight in space.
Yes. Yeah. So, the difficulties, there's some difficulties about the boundary value problem. The problem is, in general, you cannot expect to have regularity in this boundary value problem. Exactly because this gamma zero is this grazing set. Okay, so if I have a situation of a non-convex domain, and this is my grading set, say this is a gamma zero, the velocity is perpendicular to the outward normal. So in this case, what might happen is, if it goes in, it could happen that according to the boundary condition, at this point, the f should be zero, let's say, according to the boundary condition. On the other hand, from the initial condition, I'm coming from here, initial condition, that will say if this initial condition is not zero, then you'll get contradiction in general. Okay? And then the singularity, discontinuity, will propagate into this domain and then keep propagating. Okay? So in general, in the non-convex case, you do not expect to have regularity. Okay? Two plays is more delicate because then the gamma zero is always staying the plate. Yeah. No, I'm talking about even continuity. Yes. In their result? No. But their result, the assumption is a priori. In other words, you have to know you have a uniform bound of everything, which is in periodic case you can verify. In some cases, let's say. But here, first of all, this picture shows it's not you even expected this kind of estimate. It's not even expected. Yeah. The problem is this gamma zero makes this type of the kinetic equation is always characteristic. Always characteristic. At a grazing set. And also the complication of the geometry makes it very difficult to use the Fourier transform idea. And also another difficulty is you have this kind of a bouncing trajectories. Okay. So, so the strategy here is, you try to, get rid of the sublet estimate. Well, instead you want to establish a L2 and an L infinity type of estimate. Try to solve the problem. So let me, say the main theorem quickly. So the main theorem basically says, under various conditions, you can do it. You can do it in this new framework, okay? So the first theorem says, okay, forget about all the technical details. Basically, even initially you're close to the equilibrium, the Maxwellian mu, and if you're small enough, then you get a decay for the inflow problem. Moreover, if the body is convex, then you have at least continuity. The solution could be continuous. And also you have decay. Now, the second result is similar. So in the case of a bounce back, so I'm oscillating, okay, between these points. So in that case, you have the same story. So you have the existence, uniqueness, near Maxwellian, and then you have decay. And if the body is convex, you could have continuity. Oh, by the way, continuity away from gamma zero. That's very important. Sorry, okay. I didn't say. So you have to exclude this gamma zero, the singular set. For the specular case, we need more condition, actually. We need not only the body has to be convex, but also we need analyticity. Okay, so under these two additional conditions, we can show the same thing. So we have decay, and also we have existence uniqueness, and then we have continuity, except away from gamma zero. The same thing is true for the diffusive case. However, in the diffusive case, there is some weight, I have to choose very carefully. So we have a class, okay, class of the perturbation, which is has to go to zero in v direction very, very fast. Under that condition, okay, we have the same story. In other words, we have uniqueness, existence, decay, and if the body is convex, then we have continuity away from the grating set. So let me first try to convince you why you could get continuity. Why you can rule out this type of singularity. So this is due to a so-called velocity lemma. So if you have a convex body, and if you define a function as follows, okay, then you can get this kind of estimate in terms of the convex domain. So this says, you see alpha, so in other words, alpha s can always compare with different values. Okay, you have a lower bound and upper bound. What happens is that when you're at boundary, alpha reduces to, see, this is a Kazi will be zero at the boundary, and also Kazi will be zero. So you're reduced to Vs dot, which is a gradient of Kazi, right? But gradient of Kazi, exactly more or less, is your n, okay, the boundary. Okay. So that means, in a convex domain, if you look at the point, okay, so the angle is always, with respect to the outward normal, always comparable to each other. So if you start with the angle not zero, in other words, not grating, you will never reach a grating set. Okay. So in other words, in the convex case, this bad point never really participates in the interior dynamics. It's always stay there. So that's the reason why you can rule them out. You could have a continuity. Okay. That's the reason. This observation has a long history. In particular, recently, you can use this to prove, the, global, smooth solution for so-called Black Hole Poisson equation, basically. So the idea is you try to develop a scheme, okay? You interpolate between L2, which is more or less energy, and then your infinity estimate, okay? So this kind of the difficulty, in other words, you do not want to take more derivative, appear in a lot of other problems in kinetic theory. In particular, if you have a large external field, okay? So in that case, you cannot take another derivative, because if you take another derivative, you might get growth, okay? So in other words, there's potentially a lot of other applications as well. So the first step is try to show L2 decay. So let's just take the linearized Boltzmann equation with boundary conditions, whether or not you have L2 decay. Okay. So this part is the idea of proving this part is more functional analytical. Okay. So it turns out it's important to estimate the P part, which is the projection to the coronal, in terms of the I minus P part in this fashion. Okay, in this fashion. Subject to different boundary conditions, we want to establish this. This is difficult to estimate directly by using this observation. I said there's an observation like that. You try to use ellipticity. The problem is the boundary condition is b dot n equal to zero for a lot of cases, and b here is a vector, and we want to get L2 type of estimate. Somehow this is too weak to use a general elliptic estimate. So we'll try to use a contradiction argument, try to prove that claim. We want to use a contradiction argument to prove 18. So the idea is, if this is not true, if there's no M such that you can bound this, then we can use the usual trick of normalizing the sequence. I will call it ZK. So then we know that the P of ZK can be normalized to 1. On the other hand, the other part, the I minus P part, is going to 0. Okay. So now if you denote the weak limit of ZK is Z, then we expect from all the boundary conditions, Z should be equal to PZ, should be 0. So the key is try to show ZK converge to Z strongly in L2, let's say. So clearly there won't be a concentration in the strictly interior, because by averaging lemma, you try to make use of the averaging lemma, then more or less you have some compactness. Okay. So the key point is whether or not you have compactness near the boundary. That's always a problem. So how should we argue about that? Well, let's separate the phase space at the boundary near the boundary of omega. Okay. So if we are in the non-grazing set means you more or less in and out the boundary. Okay, near this boundary. Then in that case, we use the transport property of the problem. So then you can relate the value here inside the domain. But the inside domain, we know is good. Okay. So then we can deduce that there's no concentration. The problem is at almost grazing set. So in other words, you're almost parallel. Okay, almost parallel. So then what should you do? Well, now because of our contradiction argument, our assumption is this I minus P part is going to 0. So the only thing I need to worry is the P part. But the P part has a very, very specific form in terms of the velocity. So at this almost grazing set, because of this form, you can show that the L2 norm is very small, so there's no concentration there. So you can overcome the difficulty this way. So this the first type of argument, the L2 SB is more functional analytical, it's somewhat soft. So I believe should be able to generalize in other settings. The L infinity estimate is more subtle, so you need some hard analysis, okay? So the key idea is you try to make use of the observation due to VW. So you try to use this linear equation, and then you try to do iteration, but you do it twice, along the characteristic, twice. This was first observed by VW in 70. So let's consider the inflow boundary condition. What happens is that if you integrate this twice along the characteristic, now you see the representation in the argument is like that. And if you write out the equation, if you have the situation exactly as this, okay. But you have the integration over dv prime. Okay. So now the question is whether or not you can estimate this integral, which is a pointwise. Once you can answer this integral, then you get pointwise estimate for h. Okay, then you're done. Okay, so now you want to relate this to the L2 norm, integration of h. Well, the natural thing is you look at this change of variable, because after your integration twice, you introduce more variables. So then you see you can relate dv prime integral with the spatial integral. Okay. So you see, this chain of the determinant is almost always not zero. So you can make a chain of variable. So this is the way you relate the L infinity norm in terms of the LP type of norm. Okay. So I want to stress here, this chain of variable actually says something deep about the transport equation. This means somehow you have some smoothing effect, and also you have some mixing effect here. Okay, so this is really helpful in different contexts for the study in Boltzmann equation. Okay, this chain of variable. So for the bounce back and also for the inflow case, well, it's relatively easy because the trajectory is easy to verify this chain of variable. However, for specular reflection, so now the complication is instead of the one straight trajectory, you have this bouncing trajectory. So if you use the same expression, you need to check, verify whether or not this is true, whether or not you can make a change of variable of this kind. This actually is in this case, it's quite. In this case, actually, it's quite complicated. So here, why we do need analyticity here? Okay. So the question is, in general, this is a very, very difficult to estimate. Even though this is in the context of a BDR problem, but in our problem, usually in the BDR problem, a lot of the literature, x and v are totally symmetric, the rule. Okay, so then you can get a lot of results usually are symmetric with respect to x and v. But in our problem, the key feature is x and v are not symmetric. We're estimating L infinity norm in x. However, we always have integration, okay, average over v, okay. So we want to, for fixed x, we want to estimate this chain of variable, which actually, at least we couldn't find any immediate literature in the Billiard problem. Okay, so what we can do though is for some special cases we can compute this. Okay, this is the case for a convex domain, and you are almost tangential. Okay. Almost tangential, you have this trajectory. So in that case, we can do an asymptotic analysis to show that indeed in that case, you have an estimate. You can show that this indeed can be computed. So for this special form of the trajectories, you're okay. And then this is somehow it's a local effect, but if you have an analyticity, somehow you can make a global statement. Make a global statement to show that indeed for arbitrary, if you have an analyticity, then you have for arbitrary trajectories, you're okay. The chain of variable is okay. Now for diffuse reflection, there's a new difficulties. Okay, diffuse reflection is I drew it here. Okay, the problem is it is important to use a representation for all the problems in terms of the initial condition. But for the diffuse equation, you can imagine for any fixed t, okay, I can always choose the velocity is very almost tangential always. So then, any fixed time of amount of time, you will never reach the initial condition. In other words, for the diffuse, for the stochastic boundary condition, there's no precise representation. Okay. So now you want to show that even though there's no precise contribution, if you're going every time it goes very, very tangential, okay, every time you go to the other, although there's no explicit representation, but you want to say those kind of situations is rare. Okay, those kind of situations are rare. So most of the time you still could have a representation, and then well, you have to overcome some other technical difficulties, but in the end, you're fine. Okay. Thank you very much.